Well, good morning. I noticed Shane and Sarah sneaking in and Robert and Michelle. I'm thinking, why am I preaching if they're both here? I think they're both like half asleep because they're on jet lag from coming back from Singapore. Also, it is the campus worship service. And despite the fact that I'm very old, I still work on campus. I'm a professor, so maybe that's why they have me up here. I want to welcome the Bionic Disciple back to church. Steve Wright, he had hip replacement surgery on Monday. I figured we wouldn't see him for 3 weeks. Now that's a disciple of Jesus. He's here in church. I'm sure is there a little bit of pain. Got a special throne over there in honor of his commitment to God. Now, before I start, I want to remind you of what I said last week is we have a class starting the first Saturday in October. And you can see behind me the title is Return, Restore, and Rebuild. Now, those are some encouraging ideas. And the fact is that Robert and Shane gave a talk to the leaders throughout our churches on the book of Zechariah. So maybe we'll have Robert come in or Shane and do kind of a guest lecture when we hit Zechariah. Although that's one of my favorite books in the Bible, so I don't know if we'll let him in or not. So we're on sign-ups. Starting this morning, we have little brochures using that picture there. So please come back this morning and sign up. Now, I did a lesson about a year and a half ago on freedom in Christ. And that's something that's been on my heart. I was looking at my computer. I gave this lesson first back in 2004. So it's something I've had on my heart for a long time. So I finally got around to writing a book. And the book got published this summer. And we'll have copies back there. You can pick up a copy if you want. But it's about freedom in Christ. And about our role as members in God's church. The title is Golden Rule Membership. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend the first 10 or 15 minutes, if you don't mind, kind of reminding you of that lesson from a year and a half ago, because that kind of sets the stage for our roles as members of God's church. So we talked a little bit about freedom in Christ. I don't know about you, but I get fired up about freedom. I don't know. We are Americans, after all. And, one of my favorite movies, as I said in that sermon, is Braveheart, It's awesome, He said, you can take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom. Yeah, gets me fired up. And, of course, as Americans, we're proud of our freedom. But the question is, what's so good about freedom? Me, freedom is wasted on most Americans. I think about when I went off to college. I was so fired up. My parents dropped me off at the dorm, and I said, see you later. And then I could do whatever I wanted to. I had nobody hold me accountable. I could come in as late as I wanted. I could go to class if I wanted to. I could, party. But the problem is, what did I do with my freedom? I behaved like an idiot. I did stupid, foolish things, partying and just being... That's foolish. I believe that God gave us freedom for something a little bit better than that. Let's go to Galatians 5:1. Like I said, the first three or four scriptures are going to be review, and then I'll get into the new stuff. We're getting a lot of feedback here. Can we do something about that? Hopefully. All right, Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. It's funny what Paul says. He says, the reason God set us free is so that we could be free. Well, isn't that obvious? Would God have set us free for something other than to be free? The way I think about it is God said, you're free. He's shaking us. You're free. I'm serious. You're free. Free from what? Slavery. Free from the law. Free from the requirements. I want to tell you something. You don't have to share your faith.
Because you're saved already. You don't have to give contribution. Now you should. Don't be careful if you quote me here. You don't have to have a quiet time. You're saved in the Lord. And if we're free, we're really free. I mean, we're truly free. And that's really the subject of the book of Galatians, because they're getting caught into the trap of work salvation. They're getting caught into the trap of having a checklist that establishes whether you're saved or not. That is not what God set us free for. He set us free so we can be free. We can live where we want to. We can hold whatever job we want to. We have a lot of freedom in Christ. Well, let's go down to verse 13 through 15. The question isn't whether we're free. The question is, freedom for what? What has God set us free for? He said, we know what He set us free from. From that treadmill. That treadmill that says, keep doing it, keep doing it. As soon as you stop doing it, then you're in trouble. That's not freedom in Christ. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's a lot of burden off our hearts. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by one another. Freedom for what? Now, I remember a day when, in the church, when we had a little bit more sort of heavy accountability. I even remember signing a thing, how many hours I prayed and how many people I shared my faith with. And what I find myself doing is, I remember praying so that I could put 20 more minutes down on that sheet. That's not freedom in Christ. By the way, I think accountability is a good thing. I really believe in that. But, you know, voluntary accountability. Accountability that we sign ourselves up for because we want help to be more spiritual. And here's the problem, you see. If we do things because we have to, there's no joy in that. That's the beauty of freedom in Christ. The beauty of freedom in Christ is we give ourselves to one another voluntarily, because God loves us. You know, Christianity is a strange religion if you think about it. Because if this word, serve one another, that the root word is slave. So basically it says, we're free, we can do anything, so what should we do with our freedom? Make ourselves a slave. Voluntary slaves. Giving ourselves to one another. Why? Because we love one another and because we love God. I remember when Jan and I first started working with the singles group, it was about 8 or 9 years ago, one of their favorite sayings was, freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Now here's what they meant by that. Nobody's ever going to tell me what to do again. I'm declaring my freedom. Is that what Christ set us free for? Is there joy in that kind of attitude? I really don't think so. I really don't think so. Because I believe the joy in Christianity comes from our freedom. And it comes from our willing use of our freedom to make ourselves slaves of other people. To offer our lives as what kind of sacrifice? Romans 12:1. A willing sacrifice. That's the sacrifice that God is happy with. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. It expresses a similar idea. 1 Peter 2, verse 16. It says, live as free men and women. I added the women. Men and women, Greek is both, right? Live as free men and women, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. See, that's what some of us did. When we had less strong discipling in our lives, what we should have done is seek it anyway. We should have sought even more input because we didn't have to anymore. But some of us use our freedom as a cover up for evil. Is that what God gave you your freedom for? To indulge the simple nature? I don't think so. Live as free man, but not to use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the King. What does it mean to live as a free man or woman? To me, what it means is making your own decisions and taking responsibility for them. Making spiritual decisions. Not because somebody else told you to. By the way, I also believe in getting advice. Absolutely, that's in the Bible. But as if we live as free men and women, we make our own choices. Why? Because we're free in Christ. But as a Christian who believes that Christ's love compels us, we do it, we do the right thing because we want to. And because it's interesting, it's live as free men, then he says, submit to everyone, submit to the leaders, submit to the brotherhood, submit to the King. And it's that irony. You're free, but then he says, submit. As a good example of this, let's imagine a marriage, something like this. The husband says to the wife, "You submit to me." What do you think about that marriage? Not going to be so good. How about the husband who says to his wife, by the way, that husband read Ephesians 5:22. He skipped Ephesians 5:21 as inconvenient for his marriage, all right? Read it, you'll see what I mean, okay? How about the husband says to his wife, "What can I do to meet your needs? What can I do to make you happy? How can I serve you?" That wife says, "You know what? I think I might be able to submit to that husband, that kind of husband." So what are you doing with the freedom that God gave you? Now, I like 1 Corinthians 9. I think of 1 Corinthians 9 as the Christian Bill of Rights. Yes, we have a Bill of Rights. It's 1 Corinthians 9. Let's turn there. First Corinthians 9, verse 1. I'm going to skip down to some others, but for now, just verse 1. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Paul asks a rhetorical question. Am I not free? What's the answer? Absolutely! Paul could have lived wherever he wanted. No one could tell him where to live. Paul was free to take a wife and a family, to have a secure life, to have a 401k prepared for his retirement. He was free to find a career that met his needs. He was free to take a nice vacation. And if you read on, he says, besides, I am, after all, an apostle. He says, I did, after all, plant your church. You know what? I have some rights here. I have a right to an extra level of respect. He says, I have a right for you guys to honor me. In fact, to do what I ask. You know, Paul had all kinds of rights. As you and I do. Because we're free in Christ. So the question is, what are we going to do with our rights? Now he goes on and he talks about the right to be paid. You know what? He gave his entire life to ministering to the churches. I think he had a right to probably be paid. Use the illustration of the ox. You know, you don't muzzle the ox. Let them eat while they're working. Let's go down to verse 12. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel. Paul says, please don't pay me. I don't want to get paid. Because if I get paid, then I'm obligated. He says, I want to stay free. In verse 15, he says, but I've not used any of these rights. Again, like I said, Christianity, it's a strange religion. Because we have more rights than, in some sense, we have more rights. Because we have the right to the kingdom of heaven. We are free from the law. We're free from the consequences of sin. But what we do with our rights as disciples, we give them all up. That's what Paul did. Again, what a strange thing. I mean, what's the advantage of having all these rights if you don't take advantage of them? But Paul said, I gave up my rights. I gave up my rights to have a family and a wife and a children and fulfilling career. What did he do with those rights instead? He says, I'm not writing this in the hope that you'll do such things for me. I would rather die than have anyone deprive me of this boast. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast because I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I'm offered free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. But I'm free and belong to no man. I make myself a slave to everyone. You know, it's harder to work for the church than you think. Seriously. Because, you know, for me, when I'm sitting down and I'm studying with the Bible is somebody, why am I there? Because I want to be there. Because I want this person to become a Christian. But imagine if you work for the church. And am I doing this because it's my job or because I love God? That's got to be a little bit hard. That's got to wear on you a little bit. That's tough. I think we need to appreciate it. I'm sure the first, you know, Joey's up on campus there. He's in campus ministry. You know, he's probably pretty fired up, you know? But after a few years, that's got to be a little harder than you think. You know? Because you're obligated. You know, me, I'm free. I could take off for a month and a half and go teach in all these countries all over the world because, you know, I'm free in Christ. But you know what? Paul said, I didn't use any of those rights. Instead, he made himself a slave. Verse 20, to the Jews, he became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, they came like under the law, though I'm not under the law myself, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, became like one not having the law. Though I am free from God's law, not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. See, this is where the joy in Christianity comes from. When we willingly offer ourselves. We don't have to, but we do it because we love God. Think about the people the world honors as great. I mean, truly great. I think about Nelson Mandela. I think about Mother Teresa. I think about Martin Luther King. What do they all have in common? They gave up everything. They gave up their freedom, literally. They sacrificed everything. And they became truly great. Notice this. Paul said, I gave up my rights, not because I'm whipping myself with a chain, not because I get pleasure from, you know, depriving myself of things. That's not it. That's the opposite of what it is. I do it so I may share in its blessing. That makes God so happy. When we willingly offer ourselves to our ministry. Really, in a lot of ways, that's what it's all about. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, Paul makes one of the most profound statements, I believe, in the entire scripture. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no man can boast. For you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're saved by grace. Can I get an amen for that one?
Amen.
You're free! That self-imposed burden of perfection has been removed. Not only do you not need works to be saved, you don't need works to stay saved. Because we're saved in Christ. Now, I believe that we're more likely to stay saved if we'll do the works that God prepared for us to do, though. See, we're not saved by works, but according to verse 10, we're saved for works. God didn't save us just so we could sit around and sit on a couch or something like that. He saved us for something. He gave us a work to do. Well, then what is my work? I believe the work He gave us to do is to use the gift that He gave us. God gave us each a gift. I don't know what your gift is, but God gave you a gift. And you should spend the rest of your life pouring your energy using that gift to the glory of God. I really believe that that's what God created us in Christ Jesus to do, is to use our gift to serve Him. Whatever your gift is, some of us have gifts that are used in a more public setting. Others have gifts that are used in a more private setting. From God's perspective, it's all the same. None's more valuable than another. In fact, doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians that those the world would give less honor to, as a church, we ought to give great honor to those who would be given less honor. Some of us have a gift that is more helping to keep the saved faith. Others of us have gifts that are more appropriate to helping the lost be saved. It's all the same. Whatever gift God has given you, I say we should use it to serve God. So we're all ministers. Every one of us is a full-time paid minister. And what's my ministry? For me, I believe my gift is teaching. So my ministry is teaching. You know what? I do it with all the energy I have. If you know me, I can say that with a straight face. You know, one of my favorite examples, it comes from the movie Chariots of Fire, right? Yeah. In Edinburgh, I was teaching this lesson in June, and it was at the Eric Little Center right there in Edinburgh, because he's the guy. If you don't know the movie, what it is, it's about this world-class sprinter. And he was in the Olympics, and it turned out his event fell on a Sunday. And, you know, I don't believe that we have a Sabbath, so that might be a false doctrine, but who cares? It doesn't change the point. The point is, he refused to run on Sunday, and he gave up his place. But one of the lines I like in the movie is, Eric Little says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Because running was his gift. For me, when I teach, I feel God's pleasure. Because it's my gift. Whatever your gift is. I really believe that if we use our energy and use our gift to serve God and serve other people, we'll find the place that God intended for us in the church. And then I believe we'll be used powerfully by God. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, I won't turn there. But it says, you know, it talks about elders, evangelists, and teachers. And their job is to prepare us for works of service. Their job is to give us the tools, the encouragement, the vision, so that we can use our gifts to serve the church. Now, I was at a meeting, it was a few years ago, and what it was is some of the leaders were asking the members for some input on where they think the church needed to go and what some of the needs were. And one of the brothers said, "We need some more leadership training. We need some more leadership training." And I raised my hand, I said, "You know what? I think that's true up to a point, but I think we need membership training. We got some lousy members." Our leadership training would be useful, but how about membership training? Because we're all members. So I have a five-part outline. And by the way, the name of the book is Golden Rule Membership. There's copies out there. So here's my five-part outline. Now, I know I only have probably 15 minutes, maybe 20 if I'm lucky here. But here's my five-part outline on what it means to be make you a good member. I don't know about you, but I want to be a useful member of God's church, okay? So here we go. They all start with willingly offer yourself. Where did that come from? Well, that's that freedom in Christ. It's freedom in Christ. Willingly offer yourself to God, willingly offer yourself to your ministry, willingly offer yourself to your leaders, willingly offer yourself to one another, and willingly offer yourself to build up the church. Now, two of these 5 points I'm barely going to mention because we've had 100 sermons on these topics. Alright? Willingly offer yourself to God. See, if you want to be the kind of member of God's church that God intends, you need to have deep convictions about staying close to God. And you shouldn't have to have a sermon every 2 months remind you that you need to have prayer and Bible study. We have some people who have grown up enough that they just stay close to God. Why? Because they love God. And if you love God, you're going to stay close to Him. We now have members who don't need to be reminded. In fact, they're self-starters. They take it deeper. They get other books. They study out doctrines. They get a commentary. They spend special time praying. At the end of the week, they don't need a little, accountability sheet. We pray to God because we love Him. And if you want to be the kind of member that's going to be used powerfully in God's church, you got to have some conviction about staying close to God. But you know what? We've had, like I said, many sermons on that topic. So I'm going to go to part 2 right away. Willingly offer yourself to your ministry. See, I believe that God gave each of us a gift. Let's say your gift is fixing cars. All right? Then you need to start the car fixing ministry. And I'm not kidding. I'm absolutely serious. So I say, start a free car fixing clinic on Saturday morning. Now for the first 2 or 3 years, you're going to be fixing the cars of all the members. Amen. Like I said, if your gift is helpful to keep the saved safe, amen. But I want you to think big. I want you to think big about how God is going to use your gift. Because 5 years from now, there's going to be dozens of visitors who come to church. Why? Because they got their car fixed by somebody who loves fixing cars for free. I mean, think about it. If you love to fix cars, what's the best way for you to evangelize? By fixing cars. Now you've got to think big. 10 years from now, there's going to be 15 or 20 people in the church that were saved because you fixed their cars. Not only that, but across our fellowship, they're going to hear about the San Diego car fixing ministry. And they're going to start car fixing ministries in Mumbai and Novosibirsk and all over the place. And 20 years from now, we're going to have the car fixing ministry conference right here in San Diego. And you're going to be the main speaker. You know, we see Daniel up here leading singing. When Daniel sings, he feels God's pleasure. Can you tell that? Whatever your gift is, my life's gift is organizing things. And if anybody uses their gift with all their energy, it's my wife Jan, I'll tell you that. I remember one time, she said to me, you know, we haven't had a fun event for the church in years. Now, what would most people do about that? They say, oh man, our leaders, what's wrong with them? Back in the day, blah, blah, blah. Not my wife. No. So she decided to put on a Western barn dance. She found a location. She hired the dance instructor. She organized the refreshments. She organized the decorations. And all the leaders had to do was show up. You know what? Hopefully your evangelist has the gift of evangelism. Do you know what you ought to free them up to do? Evangelize. Not organizing events, because most evangelists are not very good at organizing events. Some of them are, I suppose. If you're good at shepherding, you should be shepherding. Anyway, getting back to Jan. So just a few months later, she said to me, You know, we haven't had a banquet for the married in years. I can't even remember the last time we had one. Those were great. Now, what would most of us do about that? We'd say, ah, man, those leaders doing a lousy job. But not Jen. So she chose the location. She hired, of course, we work with the singles. So the singles did the babysitting for all the parents. There was entertainment. There were door priors. It was huge. And then just a couple months later, Jen said to me, you know, we have Spanish speakers in our region. This is like 5 years ago. We have Spanish speakers in our region, but they can't understand the lesson. What about that? That's not right. So what she did, she organized a tamale sale. Some of you remember that tamale sale. And I'm telling you, I had cramps in my fingers. We made hundreds of tamales. We made $900 on tamales. And there was a sister who came that morning, kind of on the fringe. She was so encouraged, she wrote out a check for $1,000. And we still use that equipment. In fact, they might be using it back there right now. Amen. And then, I tell you no lie, just a few months later, Jan said to me, you know what? We need to have a Christian rock concert. We have never had a Christian rock concert. So she called Brian Craig and she said, have you ever done a Christian rock concert? And he said, no. Well, she said, will we be willing to? He said, sure, why not? And she found the location and we're selling the tickets. By the way, if you don't want to get caught up in all these projects, just stay away from Jen because she'll put you to work. And she organizes the shoebox campaign. I remember a couple of years ago, I mean, the Wilkinsons had been doing the VBS and it just got dropped. And they said, there's no money for it. And Jan said, all right, well, we'll raise the money. And I think in like 2 days, they raised $1,000. We had a VBS. Because you know what? When Jan is using her gift for God, she feels God's pleasure. So my question is, what about you? Are you going to willingly offer yourself, whatever your gift is? Maybe it's encouraging. Maybe for your gift, you need some training. Maybe you need to go back to school. Maybe your gift is healing. Maybe you need to get a degree. And don't let anybody tell you don't do that. I remember the first time I was writing a book, the brother was leading our ministry. He pulled me aside and he said, who gave you permission to write that book? You know what? To be honest with you, I believe in submitting to our leaders. In fact, that's part 3 of our outline. But in that case, I didn't listen to them. Oh, I listened to them. But I didn't take his advice. Because, you know what? If you have a gift, you need to use that gift. And I believe joy in the Christian life is found in being used by God in that way. I don't have time for Matthew 25, 14 through 30. But God has a pretty serious attitude towards those who do not use their talents. Let's finish up point 2. I'm good. I've got 8 more minutes. Point 2, 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're in the singles, Juan stole my outline. I don't know if you read my book or not. Some of these verses are pretty familiar. 1 Peter chapter 4, 11 through 13. Starting in verse 10, rather. Every one of you should use whatever gift is received to serve his own selfish life. To create a nest egg so you can be comfortable in your old age. Not in my Bible. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If he serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Point number 3. Willing to offer yourself to your leaders. Now, just like in a marriage, if the leader says to the members, hey, you submit to me. If you won't submit to me, you're a lousy member. Get out of here. Oh, I don't think that's a very good approach. But how about if the members willingly offer themselves? Let's go to Judges chapter 5, verse 2. I really love this passage. Judges chapter 5, verse 2. Now, in this case, the leaders were not leading. That's a whole other deal. This is not leadership training. This is membership training, all right? Judges chapter 5, verse 2. In fact, it was so bad that Deborah had to lead God's armies. Amen. God says, you know, if the men won't lead, the women can lead. I think we probably should not go that route, but amen. Judges chapter 5, verse 2. It says, when the princes of Israel take the lead and the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. You know what we need as a church? We need leaders who take the lead. That's just how God's church works. We need leaders who look forward. Leaders who say, hey, look, this is where we're headed. Obviously, under the envelope of God's will and what the Bible says. But we need people who offer themselves. I don't know about you, but I want a leader who's looking forward, not having to check his back all the time to see if people are following. You know, we need to cover our leader's back. Not backbiting, covering their back. That's that golden rule membership. The golden rule of membership, you know, it says treat others the way you want to be treated. So here we go. This is pretty simple. You can remember this. So take home lesson. You can remember this. Very simple. Treat your leader the way you'd want to be treated. If you were the leader, how about it? If you were the leader and you called a meeting, would you want the members to show up? Hello? If you were the leader, would you want 27 calls a week complaining about everything that you're doing wrong and all the mistakes you're making? What do you think? I don't think so. So what's that mean? We should never say anything? I don't agree with that at all. Sometimes you have to say something. You have a criticism. 9 times out of 10, zip the lip. But sometimes you just have a deep conviction. You have to say something. Let me give you a suggestion. Brother, I need to talk to you about something. That plan you have, that policy you mentioned, I don't agree with it. And here's why. Here's some scriptures. But brother, I'm with you 100%. I'm going to support you. I got your back covered. You don't have to worry about me. I'm with you, heart and soul. I think that's golden rule membership. Now, Hebrews 13:17, it says 7, it's 17. It's still in my Bible. It's still in my Bible. Now, I'm not a leader of anything in particular. I help out with the singles a little bit. So I can say this, all right? If Robert was up here reading the scripture, might come across a little bit different, all right? So I'm going to read it. You probably remember it. If you've been around old school, you've heard this one a fair amount, right? Oh, you don't need to open your Bible. It's right there, all right? It says, obey your leaders. How about this? Let me change it. Willingly offer yourself. Isn't that the spirit of it? As a member saying, hey, look, you want to start a new ministry over here? Sign me up. Or how about this? I can't do it. All right? But I wish I could, and I'll help you find people who are willing to do it. How about that? Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, if you aren't willing to support the path that the leaders are taking, because we do have leaders and we need them, who are you hurting? Yourself! You might as well just shoot yourself in the foot. Because if we don't have leaders who are going to take the lead, then how are we going to go in any particular direction? And if we're not going in any particular direction, then we're going nowhere. I don't know about you, I don't want to go nowhere. I want to go somewhere. So I want to suggest point number 3 on my outline. that you willingly offer yourself and support what the leadership's trying to do. Why? Because you love God. Golden Rule membership. It's a whole other chapter. All right, I'm afraid I can just barely touch on point number 4, which is willingly offer yourselves to one another. That's that discipling of each other. We got a lot of scriptures on that topic. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Carry one another's burdens. Speak the truth to one another. We need to be committed to one another. We need to be committed to helping one another grow up in Christ. But my last point comes from Haggai. I'll finish there. Haggai chapter 1, 2 through 6. Haggai chapter 1, 2 through 6, which the point is, willingly offer yourself to build up the church. Haggai. Where's Haggai? Rudy Arce and I were having a little competition. Who can find this verse quicker? A real Bible or one of these electronics? Just so you know, I beat them every time, all right? A real Bible is better. That's assuming you know your Bible. But a real Bible is faster than one of those fake Bibles. Haggai 1, 2 through 6. It's a joke. It's a joke. Right? I'm sure Shane uses one of those. Yeah. Oh, Shane has a real Bible. So does Robert. Awesome. All right. Good. Here we go. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Oh, they have all kinds of logic behind this argument. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? While this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. See, these people have not been willingly offering themselves to the work of the Lord. The Lord's temple was lying literally in ruins. In fact, the Persian king had to admonish these guys to build the stinking temple because they weren't doing it. They said, oh, we're way too busy. We don't have time. And God sort of, you know, symbolically walks in the house and says, gee, you have a nice addition on your house. Got some nice paneling. By the way, just so you know, I do have paneling in my house. But it's 1970s paneling, and it's really ugly, and it should be ripped out. So let me make it official. I do have paneling in my house. But I didn't put it there. Because you know what? I don't have time to put an addition on my house. Because I'm putting an addition on the Lord's house. I don't say it's a sin to put an addition on your house. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what? If we don't build up the Lord's house, we're going to be putting money in our pockets, and our pockets will never be filled. If we don't go up into the hills and bring down wood to build the temple of the Lord, as he suggests, then we're going to be eating, and we're always going to feel hungry. Because like Eric Little said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And if we will give our heart, our energy, and our soul to God first, to our family. Family comes first, but then to the work of building up the household of God. So, remember to review my 5-part outline is willingly offer yourself to a relationship with God. Willingly offer yourself to your personal ministry of using the gift that God gave you. Willingly offer yourself to support what the leadership is trying to do. Willingly offer yourself to encouraging and raising up one another, and willingly offer yourself to build up God's church. I believe when we use our freedom in Christ, not for selfish goals, but to serve, to make ourselves a slave, I believe then we'll receive the blessing and the joys of God. Thank you very much.
Worshiping in preparation for 45 minutes.